Hello, everyone. This is Ralph from Palindrome. This show is called Loud Be Quiet. Let's talk about the future of blogs with businesses. I'm not sure if my co-host Khalid is going to make it, but in the meantime, our guest is already here. Aurora, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here.
Oh,
So
thank you for having me.
this show is called Loud Be Quiet. Let's talk about the future of blogs with businesses. And me and my co-host Khalid, we've been talking to people from different industries about how they use their blogs, websites, content marketing, digital marketing, and about what they do in general. So, Aurora, if you don't mind, please go ahead and let our listeners know a bit about yourself and what you do.
All right, my name is Aurora. I am co-founder of Andiamo Homes. So I'm an entrepreneur and I'm also a realtor. I am a mom to two little boys. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I just didn't know how to apply it, and I'm just now kind of finding my footing. And my first product that we just launched is Laundry Buddy. I invented something that helps you do laundry more efficiently, and I'm so excited that I finally created my vision and it's here, and now I get to share it with the world.
Did you mention that you were with another company just now? You didn't mention before Laundry Buddy, right?
Yeah, so my company is called Andiamo Home, and our
Andiamo
one and
Home.
only product right now is called Laundry Buddy.
On Demand Home?
Andiamo, it means let's go in Italian.
Oh, wow. Andiamo, wow. That's
Yes.
something new today, tonight.
Yeah.
Depending where you are in the world, it's a little past midnight here in Malaysia. Where are you, by the way?
I'm in Colorado.
Right, so you're not Italian or of Italian descent.
I am second generation American. So yes, my mother and father are Italian.
Right, so do you speak the language? No.
Not really. I know a little bit of words. My daughter,
Andiamo, right?
yeah. My Nona used to say that all the time. She always go, let's go. She was from Italy. So she used to tell us all the time, let's go, let's go. So it'd always be andiamo, andiamo.
So, tell us a little bit about it's called Laundry Buddy, right?
Yes.
So, how did it start? How'd you get the idea? And what is it about, really?
So about say 7 years ago, I kept noticing when I was doing my laundry, my bedding specifically, the fitted sheet would swallow up if you put any clothes in there or your pillowcases or your other sheet, and it really, really, really annoyed me. And I thought there's got to be something for this. And I looked, and there wasn't. And I was like, ah, well, that's a big task. I don't think I'd be able to think of something. And then after I had my first son, he spit up on our bed sheets in the middle of the night. So we had to do our laundry and put it in the washer, and it was fine. We went to go put it in the dryer and we forgot about it. And it's probably, I don't know, 1 in the morning. And we went to go in the dryer and our fitted sheet swallowed everything up. Everything was still damp. So we had to pull everything out, put it back in. And I said, that's it. That's the final straw. I'm going to work on trying to invent something to solve this problem. And I did all these years later. So, yeah, it's just a clip that you can put onto your fitted sheet so that you will do laundry more efficiently. You can save time, money, water.
Right. So how long has the company been around? How long has Laundry Buddy been around?
Laundry Buddy's been around for a couple of months, actually. We started our company probably about in like 9 months ago, just to start all the legality and figure out everything and set up our business. And then, yeah, Laundry Buddy's been on the market for about 3 months.
I really like how focused the product is. I mean, like you have like one product. Are you planning to like branch out into other products, or is this like a flagship product or something?
This is our flagship product. We will be having another product hopefully within 2 months.
And so you're using I actually noticed I went up to the site and you've got another sale. Chelsea from Colorado Springs.
Oh, hey. Thanks,
Yes.
Chelsea.
Another sale from Colorado Springs. So you seem to be doing pretty well. Like, how'd you get your initial traction? I mean, like, are you using a DTC model, direct to consumer model? How's the business actually running and doing?
So we actually have my husband and I, he co-founded with me. We have a marketing team because we do not fit the stereotype of our generation of being tech savvy and PR savvy. So we have a marketing team that we are working with, and we're going from Facebook to now directing our attention towards TikTok and seeing how that's going to work out with traction on TikTok.
Yeah, the consumer market is something else. Like, I mean, for me, because I'm a B2B guy. Like, I've been in B2B for quite some time. And selling to businesses versus selling to consumers is pretty different. Like, there was this guy. He was the nephew, I think, of Sigmund Freud. His name was Edward Bernays. And he was the he's known as the father of modern PR. Very interesting guy. And he actually sort of like kind of pioneered a lot of things in like consumer psychology and how to market to consumers. Yeah, so talk us through a little bit about how you market to consumers.
Well, funny thing is, I came up with this at, I don't know, 24 maybe. So my thought was, okay, let's market this towards maybe like young families, like people who will understand getting those tiny little socks into the crib sheets when you put it in the laundry. And most, I should say, of the people that are buying are actually in the range of about 55 years old to 75 years old. So that was a shock to us. So we're trying to redirect our ads and our content to that age demographic. But then we're also trying to maybe tweak our original ads on TikTok to hit a lower demographic. And we're just, yeah, going with trends and seeing what, house hacks and laundry hacks. That's pretty big on TikTok. So that's what we're aiming towards now.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Edward Bernays, he basically followed he came from the war, World War II, I think, in Germany. And he saw the things that people did when they were when the way he saw it was when they were not distracted enough, because he was like the nephew of Sigmund Freud. And Sigmund Freud believed that human beings were driven by two impulses, Eros and Thanatos, the love drive and the death drive, right? So yeah, so like how and consumerism actually branched out from that, how like people like marketing back then didn't used to be the way it is done now. Now it's like they don't really sell you the thing, right? Like, instead of selling you perfume, they sell you elegance or something like that, right? It used to be, yeah, but marketing back then used to be like, this is the product, it has this specs, these specs, da, 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 da. It does this, very, very functional and all that. So it's very interesting how the consumer market actually progressed in that way, And I mean, but I see your product as being pretty functional. Not so much on the emotional side, right? I mean, there is an emotional component to like to laundry, maybe.
Yeah, so I guess you could say our pain point is to be more efficient so that you're not going to your washer or your dryer and you're seeing that it didn't get to complete its cycle. So we're marketing that you're going to be saving time, money, especially time where it'd be better spent with the people you love in your home instead of working on completing tasks for your home. And I think I saw that documentary you're talking about where they even. He
Aha,
did
the
a big
century of the
quiz.
cell.
Yeah, he did a big twist for cigarettes, and instead of always having men advertise it,
Exactly.
they had women. I saw
The,
that. That was a very good one.
very interesting, right? There was a
Yeah.
point. There was a point in history, actually, when smoking was kind of taboo for women.
Yes.
But
Oh,
then
yes.
there
So
was
we had
this.
the
Yeah, there
women.
was this shift when, like, you look at like these posters from like a certain era, right? They used female models. They were smoking and all that. Actresses as well, actresses in movies and stuff like that. So yeah, so.
Yeah, no, that was very. Another thing that I was like, wait, I think I've seen that. And the thing that caught my mind was where, yeah, they did like a surprise marketing ad where they just had women. It was like a flash mob where they just had women start smoking
Torches
when
of
it was.
freedom.
Yeah, so yeah, I remember it
Yes,
was very good. Yes, he's a brilliant man.
but what? Yeah, well, it's. I mean, it's pretty dark as well. Like, and if you actually follow that documentary later on, it goes on to talk about the differences between Bernays and Gallup, George Gallup, I think his name was. Now the we still have these Gallup polls, right? And they're used in politics, like to like poll the people on how they think about certain issues and all that, right? So there was this idea that the people can be trusted to make rational decisions, right? And on the other side, you had Bernays following that Freudian thing of human beings are what's the word? Irrational, right? Irrational and driven by irrational subconscious compulsions and stuff like that. So yeah, I recommend people watch that documentary, but particularly marketers.
Oh yeah, marketing is so fascinating to me. You can just go down a rabbit hole.
And there was this other guy, like if you go back to some of the classics of these kind of theories, like there's this other author, his name is Gustave Le Bon. He wrote this book about the psychology of crowds, and so like he mentioned that when people get into a crowd, they become a different entity. So the crowd is a different entity, right? And I think this applies very much with consumer marketing compared to B2B marketing. B2B marketing is different. You're dealing with decision makers. You're dealing with maybe a longer buyer process, although that can be applied to the consumer market as well, depending on the product. Like for example, if you're getting a pool renovated, right? A pool renovation is maybe a longer buying process with something small, if I can call it that, like the Laundry Buddy, which retails for I think $20 plus.
Yeah, 20.99.
Yeah, so with something like that, you can you might be a little bit more on the impulse buy side. It might be a
Yes.
bit more on the impulse buy side, right? So, a lot of emotion, in my opinion, a lot of emotion, right? Don't let your fitted sheet. I'm reading a copy from the website, by the way. Don't let your fitted sheet swallow up the rest of your load. Use Laundry Buddy so that you never have to untangle your bedding and restart the drying cycle again. Dry sheets without the hassle. Clip it, set it, and forget it, right? So it's very like emotional. Like yes, I have that problem right now. So deal with it right now, like that. It's not like that. It's like $20, right? So like don't think about it for like 3 4 weeks, right? So I assume that a lot of the conversion can actually happen kind of like at the acquisition level. So like acquisition straight into conversion instead of like nurturing, like some brands, they have to nurture, you have to put you into like a nurture cycle, right? And then send you like emails and things like that. You have like some types of products or services that maybe cost more, right? And the customer like comes, reads a blog post, right? Leaves, and then maybe like a couple of weeks later reads another blog post, and there's a long buying cycle, long nurturing cycle, right?
Yeah, I would say we still are in a nurturing phase. It is an impulse buy price point. However, it's still very new, so we don't have a lot of reviews, and that can be very make people very skeptical, which I completely understand. You could think, oh, well, I mean, there's not a lot of reviews. It hasn't been around that long. Maybe not. Or you have people that go, oh, okay, well, it's only $20. Well, what do I have to lose if I can afford to do that? We're tweaking things, like we're tweaking our website, seeing if that will make our conversion higher. like I said, now we're targeting TikTok instead of putting all of our time and energy into Facebook. So yeah, I mean, it's always changing. Like I said, we thought like our target demographic was close to my age, but it's much higher. So we're seeing how that matches is perceived, why this age group is the one predominantly buying instead of the one that we were actually targeting.
Yeah, it is very interesting how the market can surprise you like that, right?
Yeah.
Like looking at data, and that's why like a lot of it is about testing and experimentation, right? Trying things mm-hmm. out, because we don't go in with all the answers, right? We go in with like a hypothesis, right? And it's about letting the market prove you wrong or guide you in another direction, that's pivoting and all that, right? And yeah, but like another thought that I had was like about, you know, sometimes people have a problem or they don't know that they have a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some with something like this, I think it's also about maybe meeting them where they are. Like for example, just as a rough example, I don't really know too much about the laundry industry, but like for example, at the laundry centers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, like because that maybe is where they're having the problem, right? And mm-hmm. and maybe where the people with the problem congregate. you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because one of my friends that I had very handful of friends and family that we trusted to try Laundry Buddy, and I had her try it, and she, when I gave it to her, she goes, oh, okay, yeah, sure, like, I'll try it for you. And then she tried it and she says, wow, I didn't even know that this was a problem until you gave it to me. And before I was just thought, okay, whatever, you know, I'll just take the clothes out, put it back in, and put another 20, 30 minutes and I'll go check it. She's now, I can't imagine not using it. So it's, you know, some people go, oh, I don't have that problem at all. Or some people go, oh yeah, whatever, but you know, that's fine. Or some people don't even think it's a problem until you say, hey, I have a solution for you.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not a problem that people think it's a problem. I mean, they might have a problem, but they just deal with it thinking that, you know, it's just one of those things in life that you deal with, right?
Yeah, just a nuisance.
Yeah, one of those little nuisances in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it is very, very interesting how consumer psychology works. This is mm-hmm. guy, his name is Rory Sutherland, I think. If I'm not mistaken, he's the head of not Saatchi, but one of those big agencies, one of those big advertising agencies, I think. And he's talked a lot about behavioral economics. And I think he wrote a book about it as well. How people are weird, they make weird decisions. They make decisions based on weird things. Like yeah, he was talking about how like I think in the UK he got approached by like some people from the government, I think, to about how people were complaining that the trains were not arriving on time, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, instead of approaching it from an engineering perspective, meaning actually make the trains faster, right, which might cost a lot of money, right, how about you approach it from a psychology perspective, right? Like so I think the solution that got implemented was to actually just show the time. Your train is 12 minutes away. Your train is 5 minutes away, like that. Just
mm-hmm.
because people don't like to be in the dark, right? They mm-hmm. don't like to know what's going on, right? So just by filling in that gap, just by letting them know how much longer till the next train comes, right? It felt like this, like the problem was solved, but it was actually not solved. You see, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, I actually worked at Disney. I was a hostess at one of their restaurants, and you have people, you tell them, hey, you know, 30, 35 minute time, and they would give you a look, and they would maybe sometimes keep coming up to the podium and ask how much longer, even though we told them. But if difference is if you told somebody, hey, 30, 35 minutes, and you went and checked on them every 10 minutes saying, hey, guys, you know, maybe, you know, 10 more, 20 more minutes or just a little bit longer. Right now they're busing. The people left. We're just cleaning off the table. Completely different attitude.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about in terms of hacking it from behavior, you know, like, yeah. And that's like I said, human beings are weird, right? So
we just want to know that someone's looking out for us, that they care, we're being heard.
So before we go any further, please go ahead and let our listeners know your web URL where they can find out more about you.
All right, so it's going to be www.ondiamohomegoods.com, and that will lead you to our site, and you will see some video tutorials on how to use Laundry Buddy, a bio of my husband and I, who, like I said, we co-founded this business together, and you can just find everything you need to know, and it also has our social media sites linked.
So let's take it back a little bit to your personal background. Like, mm-hmm. Are you a marketer? What's your background like?
I am a mom. I am a realtor, and like I said, an entrepreneur. I actually took 4 to 5 years. I kept jumping in and out of community college. I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. My husband, who's my boyfriend back then, he always knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a firefighter. My sisters are nurses. That just seemed like everyone around me knew what they wanted to do and had a path. And I would quit school and I became a CNA and I worked in a convalescent home. I tried ultrasound school. The medical profession was definitely pushed in my family because it's a great secure job. And I always wanted to help people. I just didn't know what avenue to take. My father, actually, he owns his own business. So I think that's where I got a real taste for running my own business. And I've always loved it. And I always said, hey, Dad, I want to take over for you when you're done. He said, no, go get your own job. Go get a 401k. Go work for someone. It's so stressful working for yourself. So I was always pushed in that avenue. But finally, like I said, when I had the idea for Laundry Buddy, I said, you know what? No, like, this just feels right. This always feels like what I was meant to do. I'm finally finding the path for it. And I mean, I'm still, it's all brand new to me. I'm still trying to figure it out and learn as I go. You know, YouTube University, it's where you can learn a lot. So trying to figure it out.
So are you still in real estate?
I am. I do have my license. I mostly will do it for myself. My husband and I do have one real estate property. So our last tenants that moved out, I helped them buy their house. So I mostly just have it for myself. I realized that I didn't really want to do real estate. It was more a means of capital to start on Diamo Home. And finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to hunker down and really focus on Diamo.
So talk us through a little bit about the e-commerce journey. I mean, like, I assume that there are quite a number of moving parts, like inventory, mm-hmm. sourcing, you know, so talk us through a little bit. And then, you know, like selling the products with logistics as well, right?
Yeah, well, COVID made everything interesting. So we were supposed to launch a lot sooner than we did. We did pick a manufacturer in the U.S. or actually in Washington. They're a great company. We love working with them. So we get Laundry Buddy from them, and then we get our packing insert and our polymer bubble wrap from two separate companies, and it all gets shipped to my house. And my husband or myself are putting together every single order that goes out, from putting the label on to fulfilling to going and shipping. We're doing everything through Shopify, which I highly recommend. It's very user-friendly, like I said, for us technologically challenged people. And we have a marketing team that helps us with our social media. And like we said, trying to find this perfect niche or audience for us and for our product. So a lot of it's just testing out what works. You think you have an idea in your head of what's going to work and it doesn't, or you do it and you think, oh, well, this is way better. Let's do this. So a lot of it is trial and error. It's just learning as you go, but you just got to start.
Yeah, I think Shopify has a lot of tools built in, plugins and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, like I think there's even an SEO plugin. Do you use SEO much? Search engine optimization?
No, not yet. We're still trying to figure out, nail it down for sure, who our target audience is, and then go from there.
Yeah, because I assume that search is could be a big driver for this kind of product, because it's really intent based, you know, like mm-hmm. Why am I having problems with my laundry, you know, questions like that, you know. So search is built around queries, right? People are actually going to the laptop in frustration, or going to the phone in frustration and keying something into Google, right, and landing on your site and actually reading some information, and you know, with like a CTA, call to action to buy the product, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah, like I think it could be a worthwhile thing to look into. But do you use paid advertising at all?
Yeah, so we're paying mostly for ads on Facebook, and now we are paying for TikTok. It's more expensive for us on Facebook, actually, so we're switching over.
Yeah, Facebook got super expensive, didn't it? Like...
It did. It really did. So, you know, and our conversion was, it just did not make sense. So, you know, trying something else, and we'll see. But yeah, Facebook did get pretty expensive.
Yeah, I actually moved away from Facebook. I had a very high ROI via Facebook ads back then. This is like the pre iOS 14. You know what happened, right? The iOS 14 update, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Like and the whole privacy thing and mm-hmm. all that. So the tracking capabilities went off and ads got expensive and conversions went down, and so I stopped mm-hmm. paying for ads. And I see it as maybe being a good thing, you know, like because what the web is going through, in my opinion, is a very big sort of like circling back to like the mm-hmm. early days of organic marketing. You know, back then there were no paid ads, really, right? Like you didn't have this kind of like super targeted ad kind of thing, right? And people mm-hmm. were like using the internet to connect with each other and you know, to share information and stuff like that. So the game has changed now, I feel, and I feel it's circling back to that. Building authority through information and you know, I think personal branding is becoming a big thing, like Aurora being on the podcast, you know, personal branding, people wanting to connect with you, you know, buying from you because they trust you, you know, not specifically a brand or a business, right? I think a lot of people have had enough of being sold to, you know, and mm-hmm. So I feel that you know, might play a very big part in what's happening now with marketing. But Aurora, we are running out of time. It has been a very, very interesting chat, and I look forward to having you on the show again sometime.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. This was really nice. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Thanks, Aurora.
Thank you.